Friends, we are looking at the book of Ephesians. So if you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible, sit next to somebody that does have a Bible, and so that you can follow through. I'm hoping as well that we might be able to have some scripture verses on the screen so that you're not flipping the pages through, and you can just follow through with me in the book of Ephesians. The questions that we've been dealing with from the beginning of this wonderful book, and an interesting theological dissertation that Paul gives us in terms of who Jesus is. But the question that we are asking is, who am I and what am I called to do? Who are you really? And what has God called you to do? That's the question. And the Bible answers that question for us. So we've been looking at it, and we're looking at part 5. And we said, as a Christian, I am called to live as a child of the light, or as children of the light, as the subheading puts it so nicely there, living as children of the light. What does it mean to live as a child of the light? As I said to you in a couple of weeks ago, that we continue to live as children of the light as we look at the 4th and the 5th examples of purity within unity. So Paul has been dealing with the unity of the church, and within the Christian context, you can't have unity without purity. So both things go together. So our lives have got to show some kind of purity within the context of how we live as Christians, and that engenders unity. So we're looking at purity within unity. And what is this pure life that God is calling us to? Well, we looked at lying. Okay, we spent some time on lying. Should Christians lie? And the answer to that is no. Should Christians basically say any white lies or black lies? There's no such thing as white lies and black lies, all right? A lie is a lie. So we looked at that. We looked at anger. Okay, we said when anger gets the best of you, it reveals the worst in you. So we looked at anger and shared about that. And last week, we looked at stealing. Thou shalt not steal. The 8th commandment. Clear. And we looked at what it means to live an honest life as a Christian. Very tough living in South Africa. And when you are exposed to all kinds of corruption and bribery, and temptation comes your way in so many different ways. And it's so easy to be dishonest. So easy. So, Bible says we've got to live our lives in the light of God's word. But today, I want to look at the 9th commandment. So we looked at the 8th commandment. Today I want to look at the 9th commandment. And I want to look at a clean mouth and a clean spirit, as opposed to a dirty mouth and a dirty spirit. All right? And what is the 9th commandment? Well, the 9th commandment is, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. That's the 9th commandment. And I'm sure you know what the 10th commandment is. Okay? The last commandment in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is thou shalt not covet. But I want to look at the 9th commandment and just see what Paul is trying to say within the book of Ephesians. So, we turn from the use of our hands, okay? Our hands do the stealing, isn't it? Sometimes our mouth does as well. But our hands do the stealing. And we want to turn to our mouth. I touched a little bit on it last week. You know something? Speech is a wonderful gift of God. Do you agree? It's a wonderful gift of God. I don't know about you, but, you know, it forms part of our human likeness to God. Understand that. Yeah, our God speaks, and like Him, like our God, we too speak. You know, speech distinguishes us from the animal kingdom. You know, dogs bark. Dogs were irritating last night. They barked till 3 o'clock in the morning. Animals of all kinds, cows moo, donkeys bray, pigs grunt, lions roar, birds sing. So you got all these different animals, and I can go on naming all the animals, but not one of them ever talks. I know people talk to the plants, talk to the dog, hoping that they will talk back, but they never. They just wag the tail. But only human beings can speak. Now listen to me very carefully. See, animals are conscious. Only human beings are self-conscious. It was interesting when I had first, when we as a couple decided to have our first child. And I'm sure every couple, when they have their first child, they're waiting to hear what's the first word that comes out of the baby's mouth. Isn't that wonderful? Okay? Mommy wants to say mama. Daddy says, say dada. You know, that kind of thing. And they want to hear this word, and it's so exciting because that which has been formed is part of your image, is your likeness. And you want to hear the child speak. If your child does not speak, there's a problem, isn't it? There's something terribly wrong if the child does not speak. And so as a parent, you're going to go and see a doctor and make sure and find out what is really going on with your child. So, we notice that we can speak, we can relate, we can think as human beings, we can recreate, and we can reason. Animals can't do that. Hence, we are made in the image of God, created to be in relationship. And that is why we have the ability to know right from wrong, good from evil, bad from worse. Isn't it true, friends, that a clean spirit will produce a clean mouth? Did not Jesus say that it is out of the heart the mouth speaks? Matthew 12 and verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. It is out of the heart the mouth speaks. Have a look at the screen. You brood up. This is what Jesus says. It's shocking. He calls him snakes. Calls them vipers. He says, you brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? Speaking to the religious leaders here. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So if you want to know what is in the heart of the person, listen very carefully to what he's saying. Or she is saying. You know, Hollywood moguls, producers, produce movies. I mean, before you can blink your eye, there's so many movies in the circuit. You don't know what to watch these days. You watch movies, do you? Looking at me as if you don't even watch movies, okay, guys? Okay, but you'll notice that They rate movies now. And you'll find that there are letters to remind you or remind viewers what to expect in the movie. So if you have L over there, it means what? Strong language. Okay? So if you see L in the movie, you got strong language. And you got to decide whether you want to watch it or not, because you know you're not going to be exposed to all that kind of nonsense that they're going to be speaking. So there are other letters in there as well that I will not talk about today. Maybe some other time. We'll probably deal with it next week if I'm preaching, or the following week, because we're dealing with a very important subject after this particular couple of verses that I'm dealing with. But I'm going to look at the word, the letter L, okay? But before I go there, it's interesting with, you got teenagers, you got young people in your home. I am very, very intrigued and fascinated by how young people communicate these days. And they do that with abbreviation, especially on WhatsApp and BBM and Twitter and Instagram and SMS and MMS and it goes on, etc., etc., etc. It's a new language that only young people seem to understand. I never understood what LOL meant. You know, I thought it was a new expression of exasperation, or perhaps it's used to make some fun of someone else, or it's another way of saying, you must be joking. Then I asked my daughter, what is LOL? And she says, Dad, it means laugh out loud. I said, oh, okay, so I'm reading this, so it means that if I'm reading it, that means you are laughing out loud. Because I'm reading it. Does it mean I must laugh out loud or you? Okay. And he says, but there's another meaning to it. It's lots of love as well. So how do you distinguish whether someone says lol, lots of love, or laugh out loud? Okay. So I thought about this, and then one day I was visiting, and I heard my neighbor's children talking, and they used the word lol. So every second word was lol, lol, lol. So what is going on here? And why do they need to use the word lol when you can simply laugh in the presence of the person? So lol is used when the person is not there, right? But why do people now say lol or lol? I can't understand that. So Paul is not talking about lol or G8 or, which I found out to means great, or GR8 or something like that. And Paul he's not talking about abbreviated language to communicate. He is talking about unwholesome language. Now, what is this unwholesome language? Now, we often think that Paul is saying, don't be vulgar. Don't swear. Don't curse. Every race and language group have their own way of using vulgarity or curse word, isn't so? Now, is that the only thing Paul is referring to when he says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth? I don't think so. I believe the Bible is saying, when you speak, don't do it with the intention of hurting someone. And I said this before and I will say it again. The people that we hurt more often are not our neighbors. They are not our friends. They are not even our relatives. The people that we hurt more are those that are closest to us. My wife or my husband is not my enemy, dear friend. If they were your enemy, you shouldn't be living with them. They are friends. My son or my daughter, my mom or my dad are the closest people to my heart. Yet sometimes when we speak, whether intentionally or non-intentionally, we cause pain and hurt by the manner we address them and the words we use. You know, when I converted from the Hindu religion to Christ, the first thing I wanted to change is my vocabulary. I remember using the word, and I don't want to use that word now, it's terrible. But let me use the Bible word because it sounds more biblical that way. And you'll think this pastor is not swearing or anything like that. So Bible uses a word, okay? And you can reinterpret it because I'm not going to reinterpret it for you. So the Bible uses the word dung. You can translate it into modern English. And it was a common word in my mouth with no conscience at all. I was not a Christian. So what happened was, it was so common in my mouth that every second word I spoke, it was used as a kind of word that, it was a lingo. Until One day, my pastor's wife, thank God for her, thank God for pastor's wives, reprimanded me gently. She never scolded me, she reprimanded me gently to change my vocabulary. That's all she said. Raj, I would change my vocabulary. And that sunk. And since then, I made an effort that every time I spoke, I would choose words that are helpful and meaningful. And I must confess, I did not always get it right. Okay? Because sometimes in the heat of anger, you say things that you don't mean. And you hurt someone. And you got to come back and say, sorry. I didn't mean it. So as Christians, we must be intentional about how we live and conduct our lives. Why? Because we have a deadly organ in our mouths. James tells us about this deadly organ. Okay? If you look at James chapter 3, you don't need to turn to it because it will appear on the screen, verses 5 to 8. It says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. Isn't that amazing what James says about the tongue? And he calls the tongue a fire in verse 6. Have you ever thought about fire? I was driving up last week Friday, Hillgrave coming to a minister's meeting, and a house was on fire, and it was engulfed, and we could feel the heat, and I stopped my car, and everybody was there, and the first thing I found out, did you call the fire brigade? Somebody said, yes, they did, and various people were trying to help. Thankfully, nobody was in there. But you could feel the heat. You didn't want to go near it. The Bible says the tongue is a fire. And he calls it a world of evil among the parts of the body. Interesting. James calls the tongue a world of evil among the parts of the body. It is a restless evil. It's not restful evil, it's a restless evil. Full of deadly poison. Verse 8. Full of deadly poison. You see, the tongue is not like the fangs of the snake, where when it bites, it injects its lethal poison into our bloodstream. I'm told our South African black mambas are the most lethal and poisonous snakes. James says, do you not know what is more poisonous than a black mamba? Well, he says the tongue is. Have you ever considered that? The tongue is a black mamba, worse than a black mamba? You know, a few weeks ago we had John Blanchard here. And he wrote many books, 27 books in all. But one of his books on the topic itself was, Where is God When Things Go Wrong? And I read it. I want you to listen to what he says in this tiny little book. He says this about the use of tongue in terms of how men and women use it to manipulate and to cause intense and deadly harm. And I quote, listen to this. German dictator Adolf Hitler, in the infamous Holocaust, exterminated 6 million Jews as part of his plan to build an Aryan super race. Men, women, and children were gassed 24 hours a day in a Nazi extermination camp.
camp.
Their remains, listen to this, their remains were scavenged for hair, skin, and gold teeth to make cushions, lampshades, and jewelry. I hope you insured your gold teeth, if you do have gold teeth. Because you've got scavengers out there. It's sad, isn't it? That one human being will do it to another human being. Not just kill the person, but go to that person, rip off the skin, take off the scalp, and go dig in his mouth to take the gold teeth out. So that they can make lampshades and jewelry and cushions. The Chinese dictator Mao Zedong's cultural revolution in the 1950s executed their opponents at the rate of 22,000 per month. In the 1970s, Pol Pot, the Cambodian Marxist, slaughtered 1.5 million of his fellow countrymen in less than 2 years. The civil war in Rwanda in 1994 claimed 800,000 victims, decimating the country and leaving 350,000 children orphaned. The tongue is a deadly poison and a restless evil. By one tiny spark, a forest can be set alight. By one word, Hitler, in calling the Jews human bacteria, that's what he called the Jews, slaughtered 6 million Jews. Sad. What your tongue could do. It's deadly. We think animals are deadly. We don't want to go near a snake because we know it's so frightening and it could strike you with its poison. We will never go near a lion because you don't know when he can attack you. You'll never swim where there are sharks because you don't know how it'll attack you. But worse than all these animals is man. It's very sad. So a dirty mouth and a dirty spirit hurts people. Have a look at 4:29, chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, the Greek word for unwholesome or evil is sapros, and it is used of rotten trees or rotten fruit. And what Paul is saying is this: your words must not be rotten. Rotten talk hurts people. Friends, we are guilty in engaging in it and sometimes encouraging it. Where does all this come from? Have a look at verse 31. Verse 31 of chapter 4. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." But what Paul is saying is, all that comes from our heart. You see? It comes from our heart. It starts there. So what comes out of our mouths only reveals what is in our hearts and has been there all along. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 to 37. Probably it'll appear on the screen. He says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Wow. This is what Jesus said. It's frightening to even think that our careless words will condemn us on the day we stand before God. But notice what a clean mouth and a clean spirit does. It builds people. Our words must be used to help brothers and sisters. Must be used to encourage, comfort, cheer, and stimulate people. Even our unspoken words, such as we see in Facebook, Twitter, BBM, WhatsApp, Instagram, email, must be used to build people. I am surprised sometimes, you know, you look at social network these days, it's public for everybody to see. You know, someone says, you must not air your dirty laundry in public. But it's sad to see that people are doing that on Facebook, social network. They air the dirty laundry. And what is in the heart, they haven't even got the guts to meet the person face to face and tell them. So they put it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. I don't even know all these things, you know. I mean, I just read about them. And you ask me how to handle it. That's another story altogether. But that's what it is. It's our unspoken words that we don't want to speak from our mouth, but we write it. Have a look at verse 32. What are some of the words that should come out of your mouths? Kindness. Be kind. Compassionate. Be compassionate to one another. Forgive. Forgiveness. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. One of the things that I've found amongst Christians is that they can't forgive. I've dealt with a number of people. And sometimes it is surprising that the people you think ought to be the most forgiving are the least forgiving. And I think to myself, Lord, what is in the heart of this person? Okay, one can understand that X, Y, Z caused the most amount of pain and hurt. But Jesus said, forgive. Forgive. As you have been forgiven. And so these are words that we use to build. These are words that we use to help people. So, that's number one. A dirty mouth and a dirty spirit hurts people. Number two. A dirty mouth and a dirty spirit not only hurts people, but hurts the Holy Spirit. Have a look at verse 30. Verse 30. It says there, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. See, brothers and sisters, when the church is attacked by evil men, it is a direct attack on Jesus. It is interesting what a dirty mouth and a dirty heart does to God. And we see that verse 30 speaks about grieving the Holy Spirit. And behind the actions of human personalities, and I want you to think about this very, very carefully. Every time you want to say something nasty, or you say something bad, or you say something evil, or you want to say something that is going to cause the most amount of hurt and pain because of how much of hurt and pain that has been caused to you, think about us. Behind the actions of human personalities are invisible personalities that are present and active. And who are these invisible personalities? Well, verse 27 tells us who he is and what he has come to do. Verse 27 tells us that he is none other than the devil. Do not give your friend, your relative. No, it doesn't speak about that. So do not give what? The devil a foothold. And so these are the invisible personalities that are there. And so when we loosen our tongues and allow our mouths to speak evil and unwholesome words come out, we are allowing the devil to control us. And once you have given the devil an inch, you know how we like to say it? You give a person an inch, he wants to take a yard. Isn't that true? See? And so if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a yard. But there is another invisible personality who is not a created being, but he is God himself. And the Bible names him as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also an invisible personality. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as Christians. The Bible says it's a good deposit that has been deposited into our hearts and is given us, and God has marked us. You as a Christian are marked. You know, somebody says you're a marked man or you're a marked woman. It always have evil intentions behind it, isn't it? But if somebody says you're a marked Christian, you got to be pleased about that. Why? Because you've marked with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in our hearts. And He lives there. And what is He doing there? Well, He is there to make us holy. You see, when the Holy Spirit resides with us, friends, it means that we have already been redeemed by Jesus on the cross. It means that we as Christians are forgiven and guaranteed our salvation. So, the anointing that takes place on the day of my conversion is the day when I get anointed. You know, people speak about, hey, that man is an anointed man, that woman is an anointed woman, that pastor is an anointed pastor. They don't understand what anointing is. What makes you anointed? The Holy Spirit. So if you are not anointed, you're not a Christian. That means you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. So brothers and sisters, I'm standing here and preaching to you and I'm talking to you, and I can make fire and brimstones fall if I can do that. That pastor is an anointed pastor. Don't touch him, he's anointed. Whoa. No. Pastor is anointed just as you are anointed. The only difference is he's been given much more responsibility to teach you, to guide you, to help you. But he's not better than you. He's not greater than you. You know, if I blow in this microphone now, don't expect all of you to fall flat and fall asleep on me. You know, some people do that. It says the anointing is on the pastor. You have the anointing. It's in you. And you've got to take that anointing and listen to God and ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God will lead you and guide you and help you. So there is no second blessing that you must run after. People are running after all kinds of second blessings because they're not satisfied with the filling of the Spirit on an ongoing basis, which is sanctification that I'm dealing with in my Wednesday night Bible studies. Be sanctified. And sanctification is an ongoing process of being empty and being filled. However, the redemption that is spoken of here looks forward to the end when our bodies will be redeemed completely from sin. So right now, our bodies will contain within the sinful nature that we are called to put off or to fight is that there is this sinful nature that we have now, and then there is that perfection that is going to come. And so the sealing and the redeeming refers to the beginning and end of the salvation process. I want you to understand that, brothers and sisters, because, you know, and the Bible says, don't you know, in verse 30 of chapter 4, that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit? I mean, that's what it says, isn't it? Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. So we're sealed. And if we have that seal, one day we're going to be redeemed. And that redemption will come when Jesus Christ comes back again. So until that time, in between those periods of time, or that the two ends between sealing and redemption, we as Christians are called to grow in Christ's likeness. Have a look at chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 and 2. What does it say there? Be imitators of God. As dearly loved children, and live a life of what? Love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we call to imitate Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the Holy Spirit will always bring glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit hates sin, hates discord, hates division, hates falsehood and lies, hates murder and envy and strife. The Holy Spirit is sensitive to evil and it hurts him when we do wrong. So when we hurt the Spirit, we hurt Jesus. And every Spirit-filled believer desires to bring pleasure to the Holy Spirit, not pain. That is why we are called to live a life of love in verse 2 of chapter 5. And it goes a step further and says that we are also called to live a life of sacrificial love if we want to be more and more like Jesus. So love hurts. And sometimes when somebody does painful thing to us, we got to love them even more. You see, he says, keep your friends close. Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. How can we miss the three persons of the Trinity, even in our practical living out of our lives? And so we are called to copy God. That means imitate him. To learn about Christ in chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. And not to grieve the Spirit in chapter 4 and verse 30. What an awesome God we serve. And God's invisible qualities are expressed to us more and more like Jesus. Now friends, as I close, I want to say two things, even if you forgot the rest. As a Christian, listen to me as I close. As a Christian, lying, anger, stealing, and a dirty mouth and a dirty spirit cannot be tolerated. We are called to put off and get rid of the promptings of the sinful nature. Number two, as a Christian, honesty, self-control, working and giving, a clean mouth and a clean spirit is welcomed. And we are called to put on and embrace kindness and compassion, forgiveness and love as we become imitators of God, learn from Christ, and please the Holy Spirit. May God help us to do just that for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Now friends, I'm going to pray. And perhaps the Lord has been speaking to your heart as much as he's been speaking to mine. And you want the Lord to help you with a clean spirit and a clean heart. And you want the Lord to enable you to become more and more like Jesus. If you want that, you want to quietly ask him to do just that before I pray. Sovereign Lord, thank you for reminding us how we can be pure and united in spirit in serving you faithfully and obediently. Our Heavenly Father, we confess that we all struggle with keeping the sinful nature in check. We confess, Lord, like the Apostle Paul, that the things I want to do, Lord, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Holy Spirit, will you help us and help me to control my mouth, to control my anger, Lord, to control my bitterness, Father, to control my maliciousness toward my brother and or my sister. Help us, Father, that we will live such good lives among the heathen that they will turn around and glorify God on the day he visits us. As we leave this place of fellowship, Lord, we all know that we will be entering our homes, and thereafter we will be entering our workplaces. Grant us a deep love for God's people and for the lost. May we never meet you with unresolved issues in relationships, because we will be judged for every idle word spoken. But we thank you that Jesus said in his word, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, would you forgive those of your people right now that have an unforgiving spirit? Wash them in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, would you cleanse their mouth and cleanse their heart? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.